Grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness to you, a shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has become a fool for us. Amen. Some of you may find this sermon a bit familiar. I preached it about a year and a half ago, but I've added a few things to it and thought I'd share it with you again today because it's based on our epistle reading for today, the very promises of God, particularly St. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, which reads, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Almost all of you I know since my family and I moved to Richmond about 2 years ago. And some of you I'm just meeting this morning because you're visiting Trinity for the first time, or at least the first time since I've been preaching for a few weeks. And yet after what I'm about to say to you next, you may not invite me back. But here goes. Coming to this church building, to this worship service, this divine service, is one of the most foolish things you have done. You are fools. You foolishly waste 2 to 4 hours of sleep to get here on Sunday mornings. You foolishly push and prod your children to get them up, get them out of bed, get dressed, and get out of the house, get here on time. Well, sort of. You foolishly think that by being here is going to make a difference in your life. You foolishly think that the people here have your best interest in mind. You foolishly believe that not only will it help you, but it'll help those people in your life around you. You are fools. And you sound a lot like St. Paul. You know, the one who wrote 1 Corinthians, that epistle we've been reading over the past few weeks and that we're reading today and the coming weeks as well. But before Paul was writing letters to Christians, he was doing something very different. He was chastising Christians, having them arrested and even having them killed. And then the next thing you know, he's foolishly become one of them in order to give his life away so that others can become fools like him. Like St. Paul, you foolishly believe in God the Father Almighty, that he created the heavens and the earth out of nothing by a word. Like St. Paul, you foolishly believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. You foolishly believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You are fools. And at least that's what St. Paul was often called. And that's not only what he was called, that's actually what he believed. He wrote about it, about the foolishness of Christ in 1 Corinthians 1:18, saying, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Going on in verses 22 to 25, Paul says, "Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Paul concludes by saying in verses 27 to 29, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the things that are low and the despised things of the world, even things that are not, to put to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. To the Greeks and scholars of his day, Paul was a fool. A fool to believe in something so simple, so circumspect, and certainly so stupid. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, dead on a cross and raised from the grave. Paul's a fool. And it's not all that unfamiliar to us. At work, we grow tired of the jokes on Christians. At school, it gets old when people are constantly making fun of Jesus and his followers. And among our friends, and maybe even our own family, we hear about the folly, the stupidity, the foolishness of following after Christ. We are fools. Yet what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 is even more telling. For the word of the cross is folly. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's like fairy tales and make-believe. It's foolishness. Maybe even God is a fool. Because only a fool creates everything out of nothing and leaves it in the hands of people so easily led astray. Only a fool destroys the world with a flood while starting over with people so readily infiltrated by sin. Only a fool calls a man named Abraham, who can't even tell the truth about his own wife, to be the father of many nations. Only a fool calls a man like King David, who commits adultery and murder, a man after God's own heart. Only a fool continues to forgive his chosen people after repeated ridiculous rebellion. Only a fool promises to buy back those same chosen people after they've given themselves away to other gods. Only a fool leaves heaven to get dirty, dumped on, and disowned as one of us. Only a fool chooses ragtag radicals, terrible tax collectors, and filthy fishermen to follow him and change the world. Only a fool allows himself to be betrayed, blackmailed, and beaten. Only a fool wears a crown of thorns instead of a crown of gold. And only a fool saves the world by dying on a gory, God-forsaken cross. Only a fool for you. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "If any among you thinks of himself as wise in this age, let him become a fool, so that he might become wise." We are fools. We're fools enough to believe that just a simple washing with water and the wonderful word of God have regenerated us, have changed our lives forever, have forgiven our sins, made us children of God. We're fools enough to believe that just a small bite of a wafer of bread and a sip of wine are by some wonderful mystery actually the very body and blood of Christ, forgiving our sins and uniting us with each other and with our Lord forever. We're fools enough to believe that God's word of promise that we hear today actually abolishes addictions, destroys our destructive ways, and forgives our failures. We're fools enough to believe that death is not the end, and yet still certainly our enemy. We're fools enough to believe that the devil and all his demons have no dominion over us. We're fools enough to believe that our loved ones who have died in the Lord, like Christ on Easter, will be raised on the last day. We're fools enough to believe that one day very soon our Lord and Savior Jesus will return, restore our bodies, and reign with us forever. And we're fools enough to believe that every second, every minute counts. That our lives make a difference in the lives of those people around us. We're fools enough to go off to some faraway places for our jobs and callings. BC, the Middle East, maybe China. We're fools enough to stay rooted where we've been raised, using our relationship and influence for Jesus' sake, to love our neighbors. We're fools enough to believe that the children and the young people of our church aren't simply the future of the church. Now, let me say this to you right now, young people. You are the church right now. We're fools enough to believe that our Lord not only hears our prayers, but that He acts in mercy for our sake and for the sake of our loved ones. We're fools enough to believe that we will do whatever it takes to love our community, our neighborhood, this great city, no matter what the cost. We're fools enough to believe that we not only come here to hear God's promises and rejoice in His forgiveness for us, but we share that very same forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ with people near and far, all those people around us. And we're fools enough to believe that God put us in this wonderful, beautiful place like Richmond, BC, among thousands and thousands of lovely yet unbelieving people for an amazing purpose. The saving of many lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, "For consider your callings, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the low things and the despised things of the world, even things that are not, to put to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." What a fool. What a love. What a God. We are fools for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.